So Minyani Pesach, collection of ideas, and at the end we'll try to conclude with a drush, a machshava, a devar agoda. But let's go through some halachos. Okay, I'll get my notes out here. Okay, let's talk about making matzahs. Okay, there are a few interesting things about making matzahs. Okay, I want to try to point out some things a little bit off the beaten track. Some interesting ideas. Matzahs. We all know that matzahs, there's a special halach when it comes to baking of the matzahs. So shmartim es ha-matzahs. Matzahs must be baked. L'shem mitzvahs matzah. In the matzah factories, you'll hear them calling out, L'shem matzahs mitzvah. Because it says in the pasuk, "Shemartem es ha-matzos," you shall guard the matzos. There must be a kavana that be made l'shem matzah. And we discussed this last week. At what point in time does the mitzvah of shemira begin? There are three opinions: either shem or mishas kitzira, from the time when you harvest the wheat. That's a very big chumrah, which many of the matzah factories indeed they observe. And then there is Shemira, Shomer, Mishas, Techina, from the time they grind the wheat. And then everyone agrees, at the very least, there has to be Shemira, Mishas, Lisha, from the time when you add the flour and the water into the flour. When you begin to knead the dough, then it must be guarded that it should not turn into Chametz. So we learned, this is what we learned last week. There are three opinions as to when the Shemira must begin. Meikar Hadin, you only need there to be a shmir from the time of kneading the dough. But as a chumrah, it's a good idea to have shmirah to guard it from becoming chametz from the time of the grinding, and even better, to guard it from becoming chametz from the time of the harvest. Question: are you allowed to do any of these parts of the process through a non-Jew? Is a non-Jew allowed to participate? If you are of the opinion that you have to have shmirah mishas kitzira, so can a non-Jew be the person who cuts the grain and he guards it? What about grinding? Can a non-Jew be the one who grinds the grain and makes it into flour? Can a non-Jew be the one who actually does the lisha from the time that you knead the dough and you make matzah? Can he be involved? So the generally is, when it comes to lisha, definitely not. From the time of lisha, I believe it's in Shulchan Aruch, in the Rambam, A goy is not allowed to be involved in the baking of the matzahs from the time of kneading. What about before? B'di'evid, yes, before the goy can be involved from the time of Elisha, of the time of Techin, of grinding, the time of harvest, but not from the time of Elisha. What about a child? Are you allowed to have a nice Jewish boy, nice little Jewish boy under the age of bar mitzvah in the matzah baking factory, participating in the baking of the matzahs that you're going to use for the little seder, to mekayim u'shamartem es hamatzahs? A child, and what about a cheresh, a deaf mute, and a shaita, and a katan, who is not yet mature, does not have intellect, can he be part of one of the people who makes the matzahs for you in the matzah baking factory? You obviously have a problem of child labor laws, employing him, I'm paying him minimum wage. Okay, put that aside. Let's say you're doing it privately. Is it kosher or not? So the Shulchan Aruch says no. You're not allowed to. It is forbidden. A child, you need there to be a positive input. Ushmartim es hamat, that it should be made l'shem matzah, it's mitzvah. And a katan who is under bar mitzvah is not yet mature to the degree that his intellect can be used, can be valued to the degree that he has the ability to inject into the matzahs kedushas matzah of matzahs mitzvah. It's a chiddush, okay, because you would think that once a child already is 9 years old, why is a child 9 years old any less than machine matzah? When the machine makes the matzah, there's no kavana being injected into the machine. Yet when you push the button, that makes the matzah into matzahs and into shmur matzah. So when you tell a child, I want you to make the matzah l'shem matzahs mitzvah, why should a child be any worse why should a child be any worse than a machine? But that's the halacha. The halacha is a child indeed is very worse. Now here's the next question. Okay, fine. A child is not allowed to actually add the water, and they're not allowed actually to participate in the baking of the matzah, of kneading the dough and making the matzah into the shape of the matzah. Question: can a child, is he permitted to transport the matzah, to bring the matzah from where it's kneaded and put it into the oven? Is a child allowed to do what we'll call the hoilacha? In other words, you're in a matzah baking factory, you're short on labor, time is very valuable, because you only have 18 minutes from the time the process starts until you take a break, and you want to use all of your manpower, your adults, to actually knead the dough and to roll it, to shape it, and to make it into the shape of matzah. And then you'll let the children be the ones who will take it on the pole to bring it to the oven to let it be deposited in the oven. Is a child fit to do the hoilacha? So believe it or not, it's not so simple. Many parents can say no. Even the act of bringing the matzah from the table after it already has been kneaded and has been shaped and has been perforated and it's all ready to be put in the oven, even the act of taking the matzah from that location a few feet to the oven to position it in the oven is also a chelik of the mitzvah shmartem es hamatzos. Every single moment during these 18 minutes, anything that has to be done, including moving from place to place, the chelik is nichlal in the mitzvah of shmirah, and a child is not fit to participate in this action. Question is, why is that so? Is that correct and accurate? The only thing I want to suggest, this is not, does not say the sages want to suggest, is that we know when it comes to the avodah, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, there are four avodahs. There is shechita, kabbalah, hoilacha, and zirika. What are the four avodahs? Shechita, you shech the animal. Kabbalah, you mekabel the dam of the animal into a basin. Hoilacha, you then take the blood and you walk with the blood from the location where you mekabel the dam and you deposit it on the mizbeach. That's hoilacha. Hoilacha means you transport it from the place where you mekabel the dam, you bring it to the mizbeach, and then you do the fourth avodah called zurika. Now, if a person has a kavana when he does hoilacha, as he's taking the blood and he's transporting it from the place of shechita to the place where he will do the zurika, if he has a kavana that this should be done for a person who is not the owner of the karban, or for a different type of karban, the karban is pasul. So what do we see from there? That indeed, transporting the blood from the location of shechita to the location where it is applied to the mizbeach is essential. It's one of the four major parts of the avodah. Everyone who learns Masechta Zvachim or Seder Kachim cannot possibly not know this. There is shechita, kabbalah, hoilacha, and zurika. So I just want to suggest, to point out, is that just like when it comes to kachim, the din of hoilacha, of bringing the blood from the location of shechita to the mizbech, is significant. It's one of the four avodos. The only one who is allowed to do this is a kohen. If a Yisrael does the hoilacha, the karbon is pasul. And when the kohen does the avodah, if the kohen has a kavana shaloi l'shma, or the kohen has a kavana for someone who's not the owner, he disqualifies the karbon. Likewise, if the halacha is a child is not fit to do to bake the matzos, to knead the matzos, because it says in the pasuk "Shemarta nes hamatzos," from which we learn a unique halacha: the matzos have to be made l'shem matzos mitzvah. So just like the child is not fit when it comes to actually kneading the dough, when you add the water and the flour, because now is the moment when it can become chametz. Likewise, a child is not fit to participate even in the halacha, bringing the matzah from the table to the oven. But on the other hand, you can say that there is another halacha, that if you actually, let's say you happen to do the shechita on the carbon adjacent to the mizbeach, then you don't need to do halacha altogether. You can skip the entire halacha. If you do the shechita of an animal right near the mizbeach, you don't need to, then you can just do zuriko without moving your feet. You can take the blood in the klisharis and you can sprinkle it upon the mizbeach, and nothing more needs to be done. And you can completely avoid the need for halacha. So in this respect, we learn that halacha is not significant. If it's not significant, maybe we can suggest when it comes to matzah, matzah is not actually, you bring a carbon pesach, what are you doing with the carbon? You're just preparing the matzah. So why should it be that halacha, when the child, he takes the matzah and he brings it from the place of shechita to the place of the mizbech, should that be considered to be significant to the point where we're going to disqualify, we're going to say that it's lacking in ushmarta nes hamatzos? Okay, so that is an idea. I found that to be very interesting. An idea describing the katan is not fit to participate in the baking of the matzahs, and is also not fit. There's a dilemma. It's not so simple. The dilemma of the poskim is: a child, is he allowed to at least not to maybe knead the matzahs, to shape the matzahs, to actually deal with the physical matzahs themselves, but maybe he should be permitted at least to transport the matzahs from the table where they're prepared into the oven? And a lot of this, I think, depends upon understanding the avoda and kachim. There's shechita, kabbalah, haylocha, and zrika. There's an avodah called haylocha. What exactly is haylocha? Mitzadech haylocha is very significant because haylocha can only be done by a kohen. It cannot be done by Yisrael. And if you have a kavana, be kavana doing haylocha, it's going to be the scoff of the carbon. So, but on the other hand, if you completely avoid doing haylocha by doing the shechita right next to the mizbech, it's a kosher carbon. So how do we understand the nature of the avodah of halacha and how it would apply to the halacha of a katan when it comes to baking of the matzos? Okay, let's now go to another interesting idea. When you bake matzos, did you ever see this? I never saw this. I don't know what he's talking about over here, but he says that there used to be in the minug, I don't think it's done today anymore, they would blow the shofar when they bake the matzos. How do you like that? Did you ever go to a matzah baking factory where they were actually blowing the shofar when they baked the matzahs? Well, it appears that in Yerushalayim, this was an
Pesach.
Oh, and you saw the Erev Pesach? You saw that, Erev Pesach? You did see that? You saw that Erev Pesach, someone actually, yeah? Okay, Mr. Plotnik, okay.
No, the only thing I see, they say
halo. What? Right, that for sure, right. But there's another thing of even blowing. Now, this minig of blowing the shofar appears, the ancient minig is to do it even when it's not Erev Pesach. The whole year round, whenever you bake the matzos, you blow. Why? Because in the Pesach, because it says in the Mishnah that when they bake the matzos, Midian, they actually.
I don't know for sure, but I think.
You did see it. You saw the blow, even not Erev Pesach. Even not Erev Pesach or only Erev Pesach?
Erev Pesach. I don't know. I only
Okay. Okay, so in there is such a minute to blow the shofar. Why? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, an Erev Pesach, when they made the matzahs, they indeed the blue shofar. Now, saying Hallel, that is something which is more common. Okay, certainly saying Hallel Erev Pesach, okay, but even saying Hallel not Erev Pesach, there are definitely groups of chaburis. When they bake the matzah, that they sing Hallel while they are baking the matzah. Now, here's a very big chiddush. Erev Pesach, let's talk about it now. We know that there's such a halach, there's such a minog to bake matzos Erev Pesach after chatzos. Rashi, the Sefer HaPardes, appears to hold that the only matzos that are kosher for the Seder, the Lil Seder, are the matzos that are baked Erev Pesach after chatzos. This is the opinion of Rashi. Why is that so? Because the pasuk juxtaposes al matzos umerorim yochaluhu. It juxtaposes the Korban Pesach. There's another pasuk. It juxtaposes the Pesach and to the matzah to teach you that the only time that there are two different svaras, there are two different drashas. One drasha is that we're makish matzah to Pesach, the time when you offer the Korban Pesach is the time when you prepare the matzos. When do you offer the Korban Pesach? Erev Pesach, after Chatzos. At that time of the preparation, the offering of the Korban Pesach is the moment when you are to prepare the matzos. The pasuk compares one to the other. Then there's another svara, and that is the only time you can make matzah is at a time when matzah, when you're not allowed to eat chametz. Ushemartem es hamatzos. The pasuk says that the matzos mitzvah, the matzos that you're going to eat at the Lil Seder, have to be guarded. What do they need to be guarded from? From chametz. But if you're allowed to eat chametz now, why should that halacha apply? If today is not Erev Pesach, right now it's permitted l'chatchila to eat chametz. So how can you tell me that when I prepare my matzos for the mitzvah of matzos of Lil Seder, ushemartem es hamatzos, I shall guard the matzos that it should not turn into chametz? Why not? Let's say it turns into chametz, so I'll eat it today. If it doesn't turn into chametz, I'll eat it Lil Pesach. Who told me I have to guard it? I won't guard it. I will casually prepare matzos, and if the matzos turn out A-OK, then I'll use it for the Lil Pesach. If the matzos do not turn out OK, it turns into chametz, so I won't use it for the Lil Pesach. Rashi appears to learn that if the Torah tells you you shall guard it from not becoming chametz, we are discussing a time of the year when you're not allowed to have in your possession chametz. You're not allowed to eat chametz. And when would that be? That is Erev Pesach after Chatzos. On the 14th day of Nisan, Erev Pesach after Chatzos, you are no longer allowed to possess chametz. You are no longer allowed to eat chametz. But at this point in time, you're still allowed to bake matzah. You're allowed to knead flour and water and put it in the oven immediately to make matzah, and it should not be chametz. When is the moment when you can fulfill what the pasuk really means? Ushemartem es hamatzos. If there's no penalty, then you can't give me a warning. That's a rule in life. I remember many years ago when I was a counselor, so there was they gave us a training session. They gave us a training session of how to be a counselor. This goes back before most of you were even born, before your grandparents were born. And what did they teach us? They taught us that never ever threaten a camper with a threat that you cannot fulfill. If you say to a camper that if you do this, you're not going to night activity, and it's not your decision if the camper goes to night activity. If you do this, you're not going to get dessert. It's not your decision if he's going to get dessert or not. He's getting dessert because his parents paid that he should go to Kim and get the dessert. So if you're going to make a threat that you have no power to carry out, you are putting yourself in a very bad position. Because what's going to happen? He's going to violate your warning, and he's still going to get what he wants. And then he's going to look at you and you're a joker. Everything that you say has absolutely no weight. If the Ribbono Shel Olam tells us, sir, guard those matzos, ushemartem es hamatzos. Let's say we don't guard the matzos. Let's say we violate Hashem's commandment and the matzos turn into chametz. Is there any consequence? There's no consequence. I'll eat it for lunch today. Today, it's not Pesach. If I go now and I bake matzahs, I take water and flour, I prepare it. So if things go well, there are no hiccups, and it's a perfect matzah, wonderful. I have matzah tonight. Let's say things, I have matzah for Pesach.
Yes. What do you mean?
What happens if things don't go well, and it turns into chametz? So no, so it's chametz. I'll eat it for lunch. No harm done. There's no consequence. There's only 6 hours a year when there's a consequence. What are those 6 hours a year when there's a consequence? Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Sorry? Okay, there's a noise in the background. Erev, I mute you all. Erev Pesach, you unmute yourself if you want to talk. Erev Pesach after Chatzos, there's a consequence. Because if you allow your dough to turn into chametz, you're in trouble. Then you have now in your possession chametz. And you are oiver on an iser de'oraisa bal yeirohe ubal yeimotze. You're not allowed to have, so there's a consequence. Ooh, there's a consequence. That's what the pasuk means, ushemartem esamatzes. When you come to your lel seder, and you're holding in your hand a matzah, and you're going to tell me this matzah was made l'shem matzah's mitzvah, it was fulfilled upon this piece of matzah that I'm holding in my hand, ushemartem es hamatzahs, I'll laugh at you. You're telling me that what you're holding in your hand, there was a fulfillment of ushemartem es hamatzahs. If there's no punishment, there's no consequence in violating this commandment, then don't go tell me you were makayim ushmartim es hamatzos. No pain, no gain. If you're going to tell me that when you were preparing this matzah, if this matzah turned into chametz, you were in trouble, you were in a lot of trouble, because now you violated bal yeroha and bal yeimotze, you had in your possession chametz, and you were careful that should not happen. Yes, I will stand down. You have fulfilled ushmartim es hamatzos. But if you're going to tell me that when you prepared this matzah, it was Chanukah, and you were baking, and now you were guarding it, that it should not turn into chametz. Come on, big deal. That's called ushmartim es hamatzos. What would have been if it did turn into chametz? Big deal. You would have eaten it for lunch on Chanukah. Who cares? There's no consequence. So you can't go tell me ushmartim es hamatzos. It's a very powerful svara. It's very logical. Makes a lot of sense. And Rashi holds this to be lehalacha. And according to Rashi, it would appear that in the Yina Yotze with any matzah that is not baked Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Because it's impossible to be mekayim ushmartim es hamatzos in the full sense of the halacha with the consequences, unless it's now Erev Pesach after Chatzos, when the Torah tells you you're not allowed to have in your possession, you're not allowed to eat chametz. That's the only type of matzah you can use for your Seder night. Now, however, Rashi appears to be a das yochid. All of the other Rishonim disagree with Rashi and they hold, no, even Chanukah time, if you're planning on using this matzah for Pesach, it's called matzah yeshana, old matzah. All the matzah that we eat today is called matzah yeshana, not because of the halachas of chadosh and yashan, because it was made before Erev Pesach. It's called matzah yeshana. And the Shulchan Aruch is even a month or 2 months. It's mashal, they didn't prepare matzah more than 2 months before. Today we prepare Chanukah, even before Chanukah time, they're already making matzahs. I think this year a lot of people are going to be eating machine matzah. Okay? People are going to be eating machine matzah this year because of the crisis. This year, they're all new halachas. Tzvilas kelim, mechiras chametz. There's not going to be any sreif as chametz this year. You know that? There's not going to be Shreifas Chametz this year. You're not going to be burning your Chametz. That's the way it looks. Because they don't want you to go outside. Social distancing. They don't want you making fires in the street when people are in a matzav of sakana. Okay, it does not appear, even in the best scenario, that we're going to be permitted by the Rabbanim and by the fire marshal of New York City, of New York State, to burn our chametz this year, Erev Pesach. This year, Pesach, you're going to be flushing your chametz down the toilet. And you're going to have a very, very small amount. Don't have any elaborate chametz. You're going to have to make sure you're only going to have a very, very small amount of chametz, because you're not going to want to have to call a plumber Erev Pesach when it's a three-day Yom Tov. So watch out. Izeu Chacham, Horoye Es HaNoilad, prepare small portions of chametz to put out for your 10 pieces, for Bedikas chametz, because you're not going to be burning it this year in front of your house. It's just not going to happen. That's the way it looks. They already announced this yesterday. All of these new halachas this year. Okay, people are asking another question, going off the topic. How can you say in the Haggadah this year called Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol? Anyone who's hungry, come eat. Called Dichvin Yesei V'Yitzrach. You're not allowed to have any guests. They're telling everyone, less is more. Don't let your grandchildren get anywhere near you. No, don't invite anyone over for your Pesach Seder. Social distancing. So how then can you say in the Haggadah called Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol? Anyone who's hungry, please, come and eat. Anyone that needs, come and eat. It's not a kasha. You say the words of the Haggadah no matter what. No matter what, you say the words of the Haggadah. The words of the Haggadah have many, many layers of interpretation. And although it's true on one very, very simple level, it's challenging this year to translate the words in its full meaning when you're being told very carefully, very clearly by the government, by your doctor, by your rabbi, not to invite anyone to your Pesach Seder. But there are many layers of meaning to these words, and therefore we say the words anywhere. But anyway, getting back over here to Ushmartem es Hamatzos. Ushmartem es Hamatzos, we have a machlokes in Rashi and all of the Rishonim. The matzos should be made b'dafka Erev Pesach after Chatzos, and indeed there are matzah baking factories. It's a very, very big thing. All of the matzah baking factories, they have special matzos mitzvah where people come together Erev Pesach after Chatzos to bake matzos, and they have to bake the matzos with extreme care that nothing turns into chametz, and these matzos are very, very expensive. Extremely expensive, because since everyone wants them, and there are very, very few that can be made Erev Pesach after Chatzos, and you have to be super duper careful, nothing should become chametz. So it's a very complicated procedure. It could even cost $50 a matzah. Okay, not a pound. $50 a matzah for matzos mitzvahs. And some people, it's a big thing that they get them, whatever. It's a whole to do. But in any event, halacha lemaisa, we don't paskin like this. Halacha lemaisa, 99.9% of Klal Yisrael does not eat matzahs that were baked Erev Pesach after Chatzos. They eat matzahs that were baked in advance, and we apply the fulfillment of the pasuk with Shmartem es Hamatzos to mean that if you plan to eat these matzahs on Pesach, if today is Chanukah, and you're planning to eat these matzahs on Pesach, then make sure you guard it that it does not become chametz. Okay, now here's the thing. Now here's something very interesting. When they bake the matzahs mitzvah, there is a minig, an old minig in Yerushalayim, which I don't think is done today. Maybe it is. It's still done. They say Hallel. Now get a load of this. They don't just say Hallel when they bake the matzahs mitzvah. They say Hallel with a Baracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hayolam Asher Kedeshanu B'mitzvos V'Mitzvanu L'Kroy Es HaHalel. Halleluka, Halu. They go and they say the entire Hallel with a bracha Rishayna, and a bracha Acha Roina. This is what they do Erev Pesach. So it's a very, now that's not the Kavin Minach, but it is done because since in the Beis HaMikdash, when they offer the Karban Pesach, they said Hallel with a bracha. Chazal tell us, there were three groups. The Klal Yisrael was divided into three groups. The first group came into the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohanim offered the Karban Pesach on their behalf. And then came the second group, and it was offered, and then the third group. And when they offered the Karban Pesach, during these three shifts, there were three shifts, they recited the Hallel with a bracha, a full Hallel with a bracha. Zecher, for what they did in the base of Zecher LeMikdash, when you go and you bake Matzos Mitzvah, Erev Pesach after Chatzos, since that was the time of the base of HaMikdash when they offered the Karban Pesach, they made a bracha, they said Hallel with a bracha, and our Matzah today is a Zecher, the Afikoimen, is a Zecher for the Karban Pesach, we likewise, we say Hallel, even with a bracha. Again, it's not done, it's not commonly done, if it's done at all, but this is something definitely that in previous generations was done by groups of people. Now, to me, it comes out as something very, very fascinating. Make a calculation. How many times, and Michal, this is up your alley, how many times do you then say Hallel on Pesach? How many times in total would you say Hallel on Pesach? You end up saying Hallel on Pesach, Erev Pesach, four times. You say Hallel when you bake the Matzos Mitzvah, Erev Pesach, in preparation after Chatzos. You then say Hallel, those who do so, in the Beis HaKnesses, after Ma'ariv with a bracha. Okay, many people do that. After Ma'ariv is over, you say Hallel in Shul with a bracha, partly before Aleinu, before you say Kaddish Tiskabel. After Kaddish Tiskabel, there are different minhagim. Some don't do it at all, but some do it the full Hallel with the bracha. And then at the Seder, you say Hallel again. And then in the morning when you come to Davin, you say Hallel again. So isn't it amazing? It comes out that you really sing Hallel for, potentially, we don't do this because we don't make Matzah Mitzvah. And if we would make Matzah Mitzvah, we probably wouldn't say Hallel. And many people do not say Hallel. They do not say Hallel in shul at night. So, but think about it. It's there is a potential for a person to say Hallel four times. That's a very interesting thing, to say Hallel in a span of 24 hours four times. He's saying Hallel when you're making the matzah. He's saying Hallel after Ma'ariv. He's saying Hallel by the Seder, and Hallel again in the morning by Shacharis. And when you have four times the recital of Hallel, it forces you to think and to acknowledge it can't be that the Hallel you're saying four times is all the same. Each time we recite Hallel, there's a different flavor, a different purpose for its recital. The first time we're reciting Hallel is for the Karban Pesach. Pesach, to thank Hashem. What is Hallel? Hallel is where we give Hashem Shevach Vaido. We thank Hashem for saving us, sparing our lives. Upesach Hashem al HaPesach. The Mashris was going from door to door. Ki ein bayis. Asher ein sham meis. Kevon shenitan reshus lamashris is not mavchin ben tzaddik l'rosha. Could have easily come into our homes and taken one of us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachmanis hu posach Hashem ala pesach. The second Hallel we say is Ma'ariv at night. After we daven Ma'ariv. What would be the nature of that Hallel that we're reciting at night? What is the nature? I have a hardship with that. I'm not so sure I really have clarity on what exactly is the nature of the hal that we said at night after Ma'arif. We'll come back to that in one moment. The next halal is the halal of the Haggadah. V'gadta levincha b'ayom ahu le'emar. I want to suggest, and I believe this is emes. I don't just want to say nonsense here. I really believe this is emes. The halal that you say by the Haggadah is not really halal, that you're giving halal. You are teaching your children how to say thank you. You ever see a person come with this child, you give him a little gift, give him a lollipop, so the father says to the kid, say thank you. The candy man gave you a lollipop. You ever see that in shul? Maybe some of you are the candy man. The candy man gives the child a lollipop, and the father says to the child, say to the candy man, thank you. At the Lel Seder, when we recite Hallel, the Hallel is packaged within V'higadita levincha b'yoy mahu leymar. Bavur ze'aso Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. Are you saying Hallel? Are you thanking Hashem for Yitzias Mitzrayim? No. I don't believe so. I think that's the Hallel of Ma'arif. If you daven in a shul, if you're fortunate to daven in a shul where they say halal, part of Ma'ariv, that's your personal gratitude to Hashem for Yitzias Mitzrayim. Not Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is you survived. Okay, there's a difference between surviving and, you know, you survive. It's a miracle today to survive. Anyone today that's gesund. B'li'ayin hara, you know, it's a miracle. Okay, every second, the world's coming to an end. I'm sitting over here, I have the telephone here. During the break, I get another email, someone that I know of, someone very young, someone probably in their mid-40s. It sounds like he's on a respirator, and a nin rachamei shamayim. Okay, shocking things. Okay, so Yitzias Mitzrayim, there are two elements. Number one, you survived. That's a big deal. Number two, you thank Hashem that He took us out of Mitzrayim. Okay, not just surviving. The act of the Yetziah. Okay, the whole Eid, the four-fifths of the Jewish people did not survive. Just because you survived doesn't mean that you're going anywhere. Ma'ariv is, I thank you personally for taking me out of Mitzrayim. The Seder, I'm not thanking you, Hashem. Sorry, I did it already. I'm teaching my children how to thank you. V'gadta levincha b'yomahu leymar. You shall relate to your children the story of the Exodus, and by extension, teach them how to say thank you to Hashem. And then by day, that's a halal of Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov. Every time there's a din, whenever we have a Yom Tov, you say halal. It's nothing personal. It's a national day of celebration. On a national day of celebration, we as a nation thank Hashem for being who we are and for our relationship with you. Yeah, it's all rooted in the fact that there's something called an Exodus, Yitzias Mitzrayim, but it's nothing personal, Hashem. Okay? I didn't leave Egypt. I'm not the guy who left Egypt. It was my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather somewhere back in the day. He left Egypt. I'm part of this nation, so I say to you, Hallel. The Hallel by Ma'ariv is a personal Hallel. Chayiv Adam Lirois Es Atzma Kilu Hu Yotza Mimitzrayim. Okay, so this is a shtickel drush. Shtickel halacha and a shtickel drush. We discussed over here the Matzos Mitzvah. We have in Erev Pesach a very, very fascinating thing called Matzos Mitzvah. Ushemartem es ha-matzos. No pain, no gain. The real way to be mekayim the mitzvah, ushemartem, is where there's a consequence. If you don't guard the matzah, boy, are you in trouble. That's the zman to bake the matzos. When you bake those matzos, it's the same exact moment in time when there's a Karban Pesach. And when they brought the Korban Pesach, what did we do? We said Hallel. When they brought the Korban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash, there were three shifts. And each shift recited Hallel as the Korban Pesach was offered, was slaughtered. There was a Kabbalah, Haylocha, Zrika. As this was taking place, there was a shatz, a shliach tzibur, and he made a bracha, baruch atah Hashem, elokeinu melech haolam asher kedoshanu b'mitzvos, mitzvot l'koyas ha-halel, and they sang the halel during the shift, with a concluding bracha as well. So we l'zecher, that is what was done. It could be that it's still done somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, in some groups. Matzah is mitzvah, they actually make a bracha. And then there's the halel that we say when we come home, we in shul, a halal sholem gomor, a complete halal with a bracha. And then there's the halal at the Seder. And then there's the halal that you say by shachris, between after part of shachris. Each halal has a different din. The halal of the matzois of Erev Pesach is a halal on hatzolah, that we survived. Uposach Hashem ala Pesach. The halal that you say in shul at night is chayiv adam lirois es atzmo ki'ilu hu yotza min Mitzrayim. It's a personal thank you to Hashem for taking me out of Egypt. The halal you say by the Haggadah is nothing to do with you. You're teaching your children that when someone does for you a chesed, you say you have to tell that person thank you. It's a halal of Haggadah. It's a teaching, a halal of teaching. There's no bracha. Isn't that, there's one of the, remember we had this whole discussion, no one holds a bracha on the halal you say at the Haggadah. Why? Because it's not a real halal. It's, you're teaching the children how to say halal. And then there's the halal you say in the morning by shachris. This is the halal that's a din of Yom Tov. Din of the nation, of Klal Yisrael, it's not a din of Kilu Hu Yotzam Mitzrayim, a personal thank you. It's a general halal that we say, when we say as a nation in the on one of the Chagim that is listed in the Torah. Okay, that is one complete idea. Let's go to another idea, another interesting idea. Mincha Erev Pesach. What is the correct time to daven mincha erev Pesach? So you look at me, you'll say, I mean, what kind of question is that? Why is that a question, erev Pesach, more so than a question you can ask, when should you daven mincha today, the whole year round? What's the difference? There's machlokes. There are different opinions. There are some opinions that say that the ideal time to daven mincha is mincha gedoyla. A person every day, Mitzvah habaliyotcha al tachmitzena. You don't know what's going to happen later in the day. If you have an opportunity to daven immediately, daven chaparayin at one. Now the earliest man mincha is approximately 1:40, something like that. So you daven mincha 1:40, especially now when there are no minyanim. So you daven mincha the earliest possible time. And then you'll tell me, no, not everyone agrees to that principle. Look at the Hasidim. The Hasidim hold the ideal time daven mincha is the end of the day, when the sun is setting. Just like we all are familiar with the principle of Kivah Sikin, that it's a very beautiful thing to daven shachris when the sun is rising, as the day begins. There's such a principle that a person should daven mincha when the sun sets, im dimdume chama, as the sun is setting. You want to sandwich the day in tefillah. The beginning of the day when the sun is rising, Kivah Sikin, is when you should be saying the Shemoneh Esrei for Shachris. And as the sun is setting, you should be saying the Shemoneh Esrei of Mincha. There is such a principle. The Hasidim are very into this. They hold that the Ikar Zman to daven Mincha is in Dibdumei Chama, when the day comes to an end, in order the day should be sandwiched with Tfilah from the beginning to the end. And then there's an opinion that says the ideal time to daven mincha is mincha kitana. What's mincha kitana? Mincha kitana is 2.5 hours before sunset. Why is mincha kitana the ideal time to daven mincha? Because that is when they brought the korban tamid shalbein harbayim. The Talmud Shalbein Harbayim was always offered every single day, not later than Mincha Kitana, 2.5 hours before sunset. That is the ideal time to daven mincha. So we just review the laws of mincha. I guess your general question: when should a person daven mincha erev Pesach? So I said, erev Pesach. What about today? This is an old shmooze. This is an old discussion. I'll give you off the bat 3 opinions. Or just off the bat, maybe you'll find even more opinions. Maybe, you know, and there's such an opinion in the Torah. The Torah brings down, there's such an opinion to daven mincha twice. Did you ever hear of this? Anyone ever hear of this? You daven mincha twice. You daven mincha gedoyla and mincha ketana. There are 2 people who Chazal tell us instituted mincha. There's the famous one. The famous Chazal is Yitzchak, Vayetze Yitzchak lo suach basodeh. And there's a Chazal that says that Avraham was Misakin Tilas Mincha. And that's the popular Medrash. So it's the Torah said, yeah, daven mincha twice. Who is, when was Yitzchak? I don't remember the whole lomnis, but there's such an opinion that says that a person should daven every single day mincha twice. Mincha Kitana, Mincha Gedoyla. Yeah. We're not going there now. I just want to be Mincha is an old discussion. But there's something very special about Mincha on Erev Pesach. And that is they change the Seder. The whole year round, the last carbon to be offered during the day was the Tamid Shalbein Harboyim, which is Keneged our Mincha. But on Erev Pesach, they daven Mincha early. The carbon Pesach came after Mincha. And because there were 3 shifts of Klal Yisrael that had to offer the carbon Pesach, therefore, they made a change. The only day of the entire year when they offered the Tamid Shalbein Harbayim early, Mincha Gedoyla, was Erev Pesach. Because in Erev Pesach, they were makriv of the Karban Pesach, the entire Klal Yisrael, which was a big deal. The whole Klal Yisrael was involved in bringing the Karban Pesach. There were 3 shifts. You need a lot of time. So therefore, they would bring the Tamid Shalbein Harbayim as early as possible, Mincha Gedoyla, at 1:40. So therefore, it's a very fascinating thing. There is such a minug. I don't see people doing this. I'm just trying to tell you some things off the beaten track to keep this a little bit entertaining, things that are not you know, the run-of-the-mill type of stuff that you're going to hear elsewhere. But there's no question about it that there is such a minug on Erev Pesach, to bedavka, daven mincha, early mincha gedoyla. You may be a chosid, a fabrenta, a satme chosid, that's makbe to daven mincha every single day in dimdume chama, with the sun. I don't really know what they do. I don't know what it's sam. I have no idea. Whatever. There's certainly minhagim that you daven bedavka when the sun sets, with the setting of the sun, because it's like kivosikin, but not Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, even the Beis HaMikdash, they brought the Tamid Shalbein Harbayim early in the day in order to allow Klal Yisrael to bring the Karban Pesach, and therefore there is such an inyan to daven mincha earlier in the day. Okay, that's something that to me is very unique, very interesting idea. Okay, what about going to work Erev Pesach? Okay, today no one's going to work out of your house, working from home. What about in being involved in work on Erev Pesach? So this is a touchy topic. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan, he writes, it probably depends on society, but Aruch HaShulchan writes, go to work. Nothing to talk about. We're not knowing this is not something that we're accustomed to. When I'm machmer on this, a person should indeed go to work on Erev Pesach. There's no limitation whatsoever. It's not so simple. Now, could be the Aruch HaShulchan only mentions going to work until Chatzos. After Chatzos on Erev Pesach, it has the same halachic status as Chol HaMoed. Whatever you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do Erev Pesach after Chatzos. One of the big nafkaminas is taking a haircut. Okay, you're not allowed to take a haircut or a shave after chatz on Chol HaMoed, under normal circumstances. Okay, there is no taking a haircut or taking a shave on Chol HaMoed after Chol HaMoed. Likewise, Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, it is forbidden to take a hirgot or to take a shave. Why after Chatzos is that so? Because after Chatzos is a yomtif, because the entire Klal Yisrael is required to bring a korban Pesach. And the rule is, when you bring a korban, the day you bring a korban is a Yom Tov. Even though today we do not bring the korban Pesach, but being that the entire Klal Yisrael, we're all in it together, we should be all together bringing, every single person should bring a korban Pesach. It's considered at that moment in time after Chatzos to be a Yom Tov, and therefore there is no haircuts, and the barbers are supposed to be closed, and there the things that you order, you're not allowed to do laundry. Okay, on Chol HaMoed, you're not supposed to be doing laundry. So Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, you're not supposed to be doing laundry. And all of the different things, what's not proper to do, certain restrictions of what's not in the spirit of the day, should be adhered to Erev Pesach after Chatzos. What about before Chatzos? What about early in the morning? So Aruch HaShulchan says that go to work. Early in the morning before Chatzos, there is no limitation whatsoever. You can go to work. However, it does appear that there are some minhagim that extend the Yom Tov to the entire day. If during a part of the day you bring a korban, the entire day for you is one big Yom Tov, and it's not the ideal thing to do melacha. When we say melacha, we mean activity that distracts you. Turning on a light switch in this regard is not called melacha. In this regard, when we talk about melacha, something which is very complicated, which you need to give it your full attention, and it's distracting. You're not able to acknowledge anything else going on in the world. Okay, people that are very busy don't have time to listen to the news. Okay, if you've you'll know that means. A person, sometimes you're doing something, and while you do something every 10 minutes, you're checking the website, what's the latest. And sometimes you're really busy. You're really working hard. You really have a project. You're on a project. You have a job. And you're so busy, you have a whole day that goes by, you don't have a chance to look at the news. You don't have the time, you don't have the chance. That's the way it is. So if you're doing something that is so involved, you really don't have a chance to be involved in your surroundings, and it's not a dover ha'aved, you're not going to be losing money, and it's something which is not necessary, it's not the proper thing to do on Chol HaMoed, there's a big dilemma in the poskim. What about in the morning of Erev Pesach? Okay, let's go to something else. Let's discuss very quickly the sugya of Tainas Bechayim, another unique halacha this year. Okay, among the unique halachas of this year, you'll never forget this year. That's for sure. They put out these svarim, Erev Pesach Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos, like a stack in the Sfarim store of what to do Erev Pesach Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. How often does that happen? Not too often. Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shnas Corona, Rachmana Litzlan. Okay, or Pesach Shechal in the year of Corona, Rachmana Litzlan. What are the halachas? So many halachas. Tzvilas Kelim, Shreifas Chometz, Mechiras Chometz, and now the next issue is Tainas Bechorim. If you're a Bechor and you're not going to Shul Erev Pesach, because if you go to Shul, they'll put you in jail, and you, what are you going to do? How are you going to break your fast? Are you going to fast the whole day? Mark, are you a Bechor? Mark, are you a Bechor? You are a Bechor? You are? So Bechor, you're a Bechor? So how are you going to break your fast Erev Pesach, Shechal Erev Pesach this year, where you're not going to be going to a shul, so you're going to learn yourself, you're going to make your own sim, halavai, you make your own sim, that would be a beautiful thing, but let's say you're not making your own sim, what are you going to do? So yeah,
the advice that we were given was to make your own sim, although I don't know exactly what that means, and also it was rather presumptive. Yes, learning a masechta when not everyone is possession of an entire set of art scrolls. I have elected to learn a Masechta of Mishnayos.
I think you need to learn three Mishnayos. You need to learn Rav Moshe says. Three. Three Mishnayos. I'm sure that in this year he'll be very happy. In this year, we're not looking for Chumras. No one is looking for Chumras this year. Everyone is looking for Kulas. So this year is going to be a very... Yeah?
If anyone needs a Siyam, the Mirz Hashem will be baking a Siyam on Seder
Zayin. Nice. Wow. So what are we going to do? How are we going to be able to be part of your Siyam? What? Oh, so that's the answer. Zoom is the answer to all your problems. Any problem you have in life, Zoom is now become... What?
Who owns stock in Zoom?
The stock went down. The stock crashed. The stock went up the first day, and then the stock crashed. Because as you notice, let me ask you, how are they making money from this? Do you see any advertisements? Baruch Hashem, no. So, by the way, the shul has purchased a subscription. Rabbi Shulman purchased a $19 subscription. Okay, I use at night for my. I learn at night with someone. I do for free. The only difference free for me is that at every 40 minutes, it forces me off. I have to reconnect every 40 minutes. Okay, big deal. I'm a cheapo.
One member of our DAF group has an account, and that's how we do it.
Every 40 minutes, you have to log back on.
No, he
paid. He paid $19. He paid $9.
Very nice.
Yesterday, yesterday I was working with someone, so the account for $9 only allows you to have 100 people online at the same time. But for $99, you can have 1,000 people and you have a lot of features. Yesterday, I was working on an account. We did an event yesterday with Tourney Time and we had 780 people online at the same time on a Zoom event. And I was using the account and the account has, you cannot even begin to imagine all the features, what all the statistics, all the data on the back end, what you're able to do. It's not to be believed. For $99 a month. Okay, so now Erev Pesach is going to be the big Zoom event. People are going to be making siyumim, no doubt about it. I'm sure there'll be all the organizations will have online Tourney Time and the OU and the Aguda. Every organization has a website will certainly sponsor a live siyum for the Bechorim, and they'll tell you, don't do this again. Next year, don't try this again. But this year, you have no choice. This year, you have to be mishtatef in the Siyum over Zoom. It's not ideal, but what could you possibly do? That's the way it is. Obviously, there's not going to say Kaddish. No one's going to be saying, who needs to say Kaddish? Kaddish is the meaning. You don't have to say Kaddish. You misayim the Masechta, and you say, no, Mazel Tov. Okay, and no one's going to have 10 people. Because you have 10 people, that right. Means you go to jail. Because if you have 10 people,
don't try this at home.
Don't try this at home, and even if you have at home 10 people, don't zoom to your chaverim that there are 10 people in your home. Because if they see 10 people in your home, they'll come to arrest you. Now they're not going to arrest you, but you know what I mean. It's not going to go off well on social media, because on social media now, anyone that has a minion is branded as a roideif and a rotzeach. Okay, right. They were desperately trying so hard yesterday, so hard to get Rav Chaim Knievsky to sign a letter that said that anyone that makes a minion is a rodef. Should get the title, the term rodef, and rotzeach, and he signed it. He actually did sign it. Okay, they were desperately trying to get him to be masking, to sign off on it, to scare people to stop the minyanim. Which he did. He did sign off on it. But there are people that still don't listen. But in any event, they're going to tell you, they're not going to let you broadcast a scene with 10 people. Because you're honestly saying, this is a very interesting halachic issue, because it's going to be coming up now. Because there are going to be now a lot of Zoom minyanim. I want to digress for one moment. It's very important to appreciate this point. If you have, in one room, 10 people davening together, and you have a real minion, and you have chazoras hashatz, and you have kedusha and kaddish, and I am watching this minion through Zoom. Zoom has an incredible maila. There is no delay. It's instant. When I speak to you, the kimat, less than a second later, a fraction of a second, you hear what I'm saying. It's like the telephone. It's instant. It's amazing technology. Live stream, just about everything that you see online. When you go on a website. When you go on a website, you've been seeing this already for years. You're seeing videos, live videos, news, Cuomo's darshaning about the crisis, the president. You go on Torah anytime, they have live events on Tisha B'Av. There's no such thing as live. Okay, you're watching the very least a 15-second delay. So whatever you're seeing happened already 15 seconds ago. The radio, they do it on purpose because of people who call in and say Nivel Peh. So they have even a 30-second delay. Okay, Rush Limbaugh, what does he have, a 30-second delay? May I even a 60-second delay? Okay, they have a delay. If someone has a minion on live stream has a 15-second. Live stream is by far, everyone uses what is a company called live stream. Okay, and they have you can't avoid. You have a 15-second delay. Can you answer amen to a bracha that was said by a real minion? You have a real minion. 20 people sitting together, they're making a minyan, they're davening, and they're saying Kaddish. Can you answer Amen when you know that when you're answering Amen, it's already happened 15 seconds ago? The biggest Gedolei Yisrael are scratching their heads about this for years, and they really don't have a clear answer. It was Nogea last Sunday, not yesterday, last Sunday, with the Sfardim daven Slichos together. The Sfardim, they had a Slichos. A slichos for the crisis, and the question was: Should they? They had about 1,500 people participated live on live stream, and there's a 15-second delay. And the question is: To what degree are they? Should the nusach be things that can only that you need to answer amen to, things like that? And the end was, as far as I know, I can't tell you what every single detail is, that the poskim were very lenient. A hayro asha, just for now because of the crisis, and they said 15 seconds is okay. You can answer amen to the bracha. So there's a real minyan going on somewhere, and someone's making a bracha, and you're watching it over live stream, which basically is every live stream service you're witnessing online is using that technology. It's about 15-second delay. They basically said, the big poskim says you can answer amen to the bracha. You can answer amen, even though it's not mamish live. This is not Rav Moshe's shaila. Rav Moshe talks about making havdol over the telephone. That's live. When you talk on the telephone, it's instant. It's instantaneous. Now with cell phones, it's not. Cell phones, there's like a second delay. There's a 1 second delay on a cell phone. So I think they're not so makbet. Toichdei dibur. A second is still, the amount of delay you have on a typical cell phone is still toichdei dibur. But on a live stream, it's 15 seconds. Zoom is even better than a telephone, you should know. Zoom is better, it's in between radio and telephone. It's pretty good. So the question over here is, if you have a real minion, many poskim say, we're digressing just a little bit, you have a real minion, you have 10 people in a room, and you want to answer amen, it's good. Many poskim say, you can answer amen. To a very large degree, you can say kedusha. You can say baruch. You can have a mamish, a real minion. Isn't it amazing? You have a real minion. Now, no one's allowing that to happen, because if you're going to go have on Zoom, you're going to go broadcast live a minyan, take a humongous space medrash and put 10 people in the corner, in each corner, and have a real minyan, and everyone can log in through Zoom and watch that minyan and answer Kaddish, Baruch Hu, Aveilim can say Kaddish. Wouldn't that be a solution? Technically, it would be a solution, but it would set a very bad example. Why would it set a bad example? Because there's a minion. There's a real minion. So I haven't seen anyone do this yet. Theoretically, they can go take Chaim Berlin, a humongous base medrash, bring in 10 people, sit in the corners, have 20 feet apart from each person, have a real minion in one reshus, and they can chazar sashatz, baruch hu, kedusha, kaddish, and anyone that's logging in can answer Yehei Shmei Rabbah, can say kedusha, can say kaddish, can do everything. An oval can say kaddish. Yet, I don't think any rav wants to do that. They don't want that to happen. Because it's just, first of all, you're going to be setting a tone, oh, minyanim, you can have a minyan. So what's the difference having it in a big, massive building versus having it in your house? It's the slippery slope syndrome. Number two, the whole time, there's no time to this, of logging into davening with a minyan. What are they doing? What do they recommend very highly? And that is, no minyan, have one guy, just be the shliach tzibur. No chazar sashatz, no kiddusha, no kaddish, but at least we should all be davening together. We should all be davening at the same time. And that, to a very large degree, is a fulfillment of what Chazal say, that we should daven, yochid should daven bizman shehat tzibur mispalalim. So when it comes to making a siyum b'choyrim, erev Pesach, it's certainly good enough. If one fellow makes a siyum in somewhere, who knows where, Mark's going to go broadcast to see him on Seder Nezakin to the Gans Klal Yisrael. Clark, I'm going to sign you up with attorney time. You broadcast your Siyam, and the whole, wherever you are, you can tune in, you can zoom in to the Siyam, and you can break your fast. Okay, it's not so simple. It's not so simple because really you need to eat. In the din of the siyum, the su'udah siyum, to break the fast, you have a chelik of the su'udah of the siyum. Mark, you're not sending us any food, I assume. You're not sending out cake to the Gans Klal Yisrael. So we're not eating from your food. We're not eating from your su'udah. Every person will have to have their own little party at home with their own food to say that we can connect, we can mishtatef in your simcha. It's a chiddush. It is a chiddush. But this year, we're not looking for chumras. Okay, so this is one of the other halachas, the unique halachas of this year. All these unique halachas. Tzvilas kelim, be mafkir your kelim in front of three people, or sell them to a guy. Bedikas chametz, make sure you have small amounts, because you're not going to be burning it outside, you're going to be flushing it down the toilet. You're not going to be saying, you're not going to, the Siyam B'chayim is going to take place over Zoom. Okay, what other unique halachas? Mechiras chametz to the Rav. You're going to be doing it electronically. You're not going to be making any kinyanim. It's really amazing. It's really remarkable what is happening. Okay, and it's not a problem. Torah has a solution for every problem. This halach is able to deal with all of these situations. You say there, you can say kol dichvin, even though you're not inviting any guests, you're not coming to me for Yom Tif. Okay, you can say kol dichvin. Now what about Shafai Hamas El Agoyim? Are you allowed to open up the door? If you open up the door, you're letting, you know, some people don't open up the door, you're letting, who knows? No one knows anything. Okay, so are you going to go outside with a mask when you do Shvei Chamoscha? I don't know.
No.
What?
What? No, when you go out, is there anybody out there? Usually not.
Never.
They don't even want you. They there's so much uncertainty and unknown. They tell you, don't even go outside. It's such an unknown. This reality that we're living in, no one knows anything. No one knows how it spreads. No one knows what it's all about. No one knows how long it lasts. Will it come back? Not come back? why do some people respond to treatment, some do not. No one knows nothing, nothing. Less is more. It's amazing. Who would ever imagine? Certainly not me. I never saw this coming. Never.
No one saw it.
No one saw it. But even when they started telling you it's going to happen, I always say it's going to, yeah, really? How come it's not happening? You tell them, boy, did it happen? Whew. Did it happen? Did you see that video yesterday from Shomer Hadass? Did you see from Shomer Hadass that video of all those bodies?
I heard that. They're loaded with bodies.
There's a video. Someone put up a video of Shomer Hadass, all the bodies. It's spooky.
Something like 17 funerals a day or something like that.
That's what we know about.
Yes, someone told me that.
Rachman Litzlan.
Sahara. Everyone should have a refuah shleima and a good day.
Okay, so we'll leave it with this. This is the unique halachas of Siyum Bechorim.
On that happy note,
we should all have, stay safe, stay secure, and be mispalel for Yeshua's Urufuis, for us and for Klal Yisrael. Be well. Thank you for joining me. Amir Shem tomorrow, 9:30 Amir Shem tomorrow. Be well. Again, stay safe. It's a pleasure learning with all of you today.
Everyone should have a healthy whatever.
Amen.
Enjoy your flight.
Mark, I haven't seen you in a long time. How you doing?
I wanted to see your smile.
Your smile makes my day.
Mayor, you're here? Where are you?
Hello, like back in Utah.
Mayor, let's see your face. We want to see your face.
English, I have to give you 17 yard sights today. What's the matter with you?
Turn on your camera. Let's see what you look like.
Where is it? Is this it?
Come on. All right, I have another seder.
Okay, be well. Click on your screen. Click on your screen and look where it says video.
If anyone wants me to visit, I can come and visit. If you want me, I'll come to visit you and I'll stay here till after the Seder.
Okay, Zag is it.
Be well, everybody. So the bunker became more isolated, I see.
Yeah, there's no one here.
All right.
I'll call.
Order anything for you?
What?
You need shmur matzah?
No shmur matzah this year. No shmur matzah this year. We're getting machine matzah.
What about rice? I didn't hear the heads on rice yet.
Don't worry, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Don't worry. Alright, that they already get hetter on? Okay. Anything that was a controversy. Anything that was a controversy this year will be mutter.
And also canola oil is a hetter this year.
All the controversies will be mutter this year.
Listen, they all said all the chumras, you don't need to have a Taurus Nadaram because it's an emergency. The Shaila with a bitl of the Kalem. And all the minhagim are only minhag, so they're all batul mavutul.
Not so fast. Not at least batul.
The minute they're going to start is going to be called the Corona Minute. And everyone who's going to say is going to say, this year's Corona Minute.
What's Hazar Eisen doing?
We got a memo saying he's doing much better. Sending out a settle about the Hilchos Pesach. Probably he's going to sell out the Shtam Mechiret that you should buy by him.
All right. And what else?
I don't know. What else you want to hear?
Is there any good news today in the news? Anything good happen?
I'm going to get a chance to see. Yeah, they're starting some new medication that you think will work out. One guy says zinc, and one guy says quinine. Your sister makes deliveries, or she goes out?
No, she doesn't go out.
Where does she get her wood from?
Me.
Yeah, I'm busy trying to do an order for what's it called? Mountain Fruit. It's taking me an hour. They have a very lousy system.
All of the stores are overwhelmed.
Well, Moishe's doesn't take any more phone orders. I know that.
Every store is overwhelmed.
What they need is the young Yeshua guys who should go in and help pack.
They have who they need. They have who they need. They do. For money, they have. They have plenty of people. Don't worry. They have who they need. Get in the way. They have who they need.
And those guys are good because when they pack, they can come at night. They can pack from 11 to 12.
Don't worry. The stores, they know what they're doing. It's when it comes to money, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They're doing very well, the stores. When it comes to money, everyone's a chacham.
On Zoom?
I'm not making a siam. There'll be a dime a dozen. I guarantee you, there'll be a dime a dozen. There'll be more siam than you can count. There'll be a siam on anything you possibly want. A siam hashas, a siam tanach, a siam mishnayis. You name it, you'll get it. I guarantee it. You'll only receive about a billion emails and WhatsApps telling you where to go zoom into a scene. We're living in a whole new world. This online world is a whole new world.
Yeah, you know, Abrahamonis are the people in Eretz Yisrael who have 9 10 children and a small dira. They don't have a smartphone. So
don't worry, they have a smartphone. Guess what? They do have a smartphone. You'd be surprised. They're not so backwards. If they have 9, 10 children, don't worry, they have a smartphone. They all have smartphones. They learn very quickly how to use the smartphone. All the rabbonim have smartphones. All the women, every woman has a smartphone. Every woman has a smartphone. Even the men that you know, have a smartphone, their wives have one. All right, Rabbi, I'm signing off, all right? How's everything by you?
Gesundheit, I'm still waiting to hear from the hospital. So she's, Baruch Hashem, but she's still there.
You talk to her at all?
No, she doesn't want to talk to me. I know she's all right when she says she doesn't want to talk to me. Only the tuna space for me. Only if she got the same thing we got.
How's everyone in your shul? How's everyone by Eisen?
I don't know. It could be a lot of people. You know, I sent you about Zegelbaum had a grandson.
No, I didn't see that.
Got it?
I didn't know. I
sent you the copy. Avrami had a son.
Who's Avrami?
The son, the Kiddush Club guy.
Oh, he had a boy. Yeah. What do you have? A son? Okay, Mazel Tov. Okay, all right.
The son. They had a son. Hadassah, you want pepper?
All right, I'm logging off, all right? Take care.
You need pepper? Do you need green pepper, yellow pepper? What do you need?
No.
Okay. Let your taste like more snippets. You want lettuce, you said. The garlic we found. Mushrooms and...
No, I don't need mushrooms.
You don't like mushrooms? Cauliflower.
Pitriot le pesach, amano, tea.
Okay.